Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. It's the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler. Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti on your updates. And there's a fourth chair that you can pull up anytime via the phone number 888-710 for ISN, 888-710-4476. Social media, the start of the end of humanity. We may have a while to go, but whenever it does end, we'll trace it back to the advent of social media. There's no question about that. But in the meantime, you can use it at Bart Winkler and or at Bart Winkler Show on the platform of your choosing. I was relieved, I must be honest, to be able to watch an NBA Finals game without having to worry about the things that were going to come out of my mouth on a audio platform. I am excited and have been looking forward to all day the chance to talk about the game between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Indiana Pacers. But I, as you may have heard and gathered throughout this playoff run, it has taken a lot out of me to have to do both, to watch the game while talking about like football or Rafael Devers. You know, I'm talking and I'm like, yeah, you know, the Giants, and this is going to really improve their middle of the order. Oh my God, what happened?
Open wide for some soccer!
Rafael Devers plays baseball? What was the soccer draft? Tough weekend. Tough start.
Yeah, you were just talking about sports, so I was like, oh, throw that in there.
All right. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. I just stand by my previous statement every Monday that whoever invented a five-day work week and only two-day respite should be tried for war crimes.
Yeah. Well, but at least we get the two-day respite. You know, there was a time
not
where
us, because we work 10 days a week.
That is true. We work 10 days a week. There's a time where everyone was working 7 days a week, and the money that you got was only good from the company, and you had to buy goods from them, and they could inflate the price. So, you know, we're better than where we were, but we still could, you know, we could be a little. We worked 8 days a week.
Wait. You're getting paid for this?
I've worked it into a contract that I receive money for the time that I work. Yeah, are you?
Must be nice.
You know what I remember now is that I'm responsible to pay you, and I haven't done that yet.
Oh, if that's true, I'm gonna need like a year of back pay.
Well, maybe starting. How about this? I'll pay you the 32nd of every month. Sound good?
That's kind of a problem. Dates don't really work like that.
But I was relieved to be able to watch the game and experience my emotions from the game, again, from my couch and not the broadcast studio. Now, I am happy about who won the NBA Finals. I was rooting more against the Pacers than I was for the Thunder, but that's not, I'm not going to make that the whole show. We're not going to get 4 hours of me being happy that the team that I didn't like and or understand lost. I do feel like the NBA probably would have benefited more if the Pacers won, and that is something that we'll talk about throughout the night. But I was just happy to be able to watch more than anything. Win or lose, whatever. Had the Pacers won, which I did not want, but if they did, I'd come in here 24 hours later. We'd have a nice, rational discussion. It was really taking a lot out of me. to watch it every night while on the air. And I did not. I was also off on Thursday. The family and I, we went to Chicago with some friends and some buddies of my kid, and we took in a baseball game. Brewers beat the Cubs on Thursday. So that was really a nice sort of thing. And that was like, you know, we don't really have a vacation planned for the summer. So it's not going to be like Bart's off for 2 weeks at a time. But we're going to try to do something fun, you know, every now and then. And that was one of those things. And I'm very glad, not just for me, but for all of you, that you didn't get me on Thursday night. Because that no-look pass that Tyrese Halliburton had, I mean, it's getting to a point where I can't rationally talk about something because I've hated on it so much that even just mentioning that was overblown sounds like I'm being an obnoxious little baby boy. But when you stare down the guy you're going to pass to, and then you turn your head and then you pass, that's not a no-look pass. A no-look pass is you pass without looking. It's not staring the guy down. Maybe some peripheral. Maybe I know where he's going to be on the court. But not, I'm being covered, and there's nobody on the other side of the court, and I'm going to throw to him and then do a spin move. I got in a discussion online about that, and I said, Tyrese Halliburton, he over-embellishes everything. What is he doing? Why does he do this? And someone came back at me with, well, it is an entertainment product. And I said, ah, that's such a jackass answer, but it is true, and I don't have a retort for that. So I'm glad that you did not get me on Thursday night. There was at one point in the game, it might have been halftime, and because we were watching, my wife's gotten into this, my kid's gotten into it, big Thunder House, okay, big Thunder House. And there was at one point, my wife says, because I was like screaming about something. It was like a 4-point game in the second quarter. And I was screaming about something. And my wife goes, Bart, I'm just worried that your anger is going to, because I was like ranting and raving and yelling. And she said, I'm worried your anger is going to come out on the air and you're going to say something wrong or like look stupid. I go, I'm basically doing the show for you. I'm screaming. I'm unhinged. I can't handle. You're getting the show live in the living room. Just you. This is the show. And she was like, okay. Well, I hope Indeed.com still has your resume. I said, I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to be better. So the Thunder won. The show's not Bart reacting, although it is, but it's not. The Thunder won, and it just seems like my overall thought on the NBA Finals, now that it's come to a conclusion, is it seems like everyone's just kind of unhappy. I don't feel the celebration of this league and this product. You've got the Thunder that have done some historic things, and I'll relay those here in a moment. But it feels like everyone's just kind of like, nah. If there's something to complain about, it will be complained about. The Indiana Pacers gave us one of the most improbable, insane, team-centric runs that you will ever see in sports. Always the underdog, always finding a way, always being doubted, always finding a way. Even when Tyrese Halliburton did go down, which was unfortunate, that is not what I wanted to see or how I wanted to see this series come to an end. It felt like they still were going to overcome every bit of adversity. They were down 22, even they brought it to within 10. It felt like, oh my God, they might still do this. TJ McConnell goes all TJ McConnell on us. It's not a fluke anymore. But the Thunder were able to create turnovers, get the blocks, get to the line, make some big threes, and ultimately win this championship. And I feel like everyone's kind of walked away from this being like, The Thunder, they're not a champion that's being celebrated the way that other champions have been celebrated. And I think it's because the league that Adam Silver tried to create is a league that, almost like what baseball did, is it's become more spreadsheet, net rating, advanced stats than I think we want it to be. You know, the Thunder let all these different categories and net rating and, I mean, all this other metric stuff and just a bunch of nonsense. And I don't think people are into that. I think they're into how many points did they beat them by. I'm just trying to think of the average sports fan that's trying to follow along with any product right now, and it feels like you're getting abbreviated to death. You know, the WRC+, this is the best team in baseball. The advanced metrics have any advance or metrics or net. It's like, we just want, how many steals did they have? What's their batting average? How many, what's his completion percentage? You know, we're getting into all this other stuff. Now we're getting into an offseason where it's like, well, can these teams work against the second apron? Ugh. Who's driving around right now? Just driving around. I just feel like every time I say the word second apron, you're like, music. I mean, what are these products? What are we getting? So Adam Silver's league has become very, like, it's become nerdy. It's become, you got to plan out draft picks 9 years in advance. And the Thunder have been doing that. And we knew at some point this could come. And that's an achievement. That's an achievement. They saw the system that was being created, and they found a way to build a team within that system. But it's another era of basketball that I don't think is going to be well received. It's an era of basketball that's going to be, you know, you got 2 or 3 years, you got the hard cap, the second apron, the MPLE, the tax, all these things that you can and can't do, and aggregate salaries. You know, driving around, listening to some sports talk radio. Yeah, if they could aggregate those salaries, oh, what is this? Garbage. But that's the league that got created. So the Thunder are a champion for these times. We got out of the superstar team building era, not team building, but superstar big three era. We got into this era, which Adam Silver wanted because he didn't like that Kevin Durant went to the Warriors. And then Steve Ballmer and the Clippers is like, I'm going to outspend you. And Adam Silver's like, there's going to be no outspending anybody in this league. And rather than like just kind of limit it, I'm going to clamp down where you can get 2 good years and then you're screwed. Even the Thunder, a team that is built from within, they're going to have to pay all these guys, and they're going to get restricted by this thing that was supposed to help teams like them. Well, the Cavs can make it next year. They can make it deep. Can they? They can't do anything. They can't do anything. The only way you can improve your team right now is if, like, you're the Orlando Magic and you find Desmond Bane. Okay, well, you're going to have to give up 5 first-round picks for Desmond Bane because you can't sign anybody, and then you got to make these trades, and, oh, I got to – got to make sure we trade that guy next year so we're not in the second apron, even though we're trying to compete right now while we're in the first apron. Jeez. So it just feels like the Thunder aren't being celebrated. This isn't a team that I don't think people were rooting for. And I wasn't rooting for them. Rooting against the other team. But even that team left so many bodies in their wake that it's like, we can't root for this. The whole Eastern Conference. Who in the Eastern Conference could be like, yeah, I do want to see that team. That team that aggravated me. That team that made me hate a guy named Ben Shepherd, who I never knew of. Oh, I want that team to win. No, we didn't want them. And the Thunder, everybody in the West hates the Thunder because, you know, they hate playing against SGA and foul merchant. Can't celebrate him. MVP. Did the kind of postseason, regular season that only like Kareem and Jordan have done, but can't celebrate him because we don't like how he plays. The injuries. Tyrese Halliburton Tyrese Halliburton has a calf injury, plays on it, blows out his Achilles in a game 7 of the NBA Finals. In the same postseason that Damian Lillard did the same thing, Achilles. Jason Tatum did the same thing, Achilles. In the same season where there's been about 11 different, I think by one count, injuries involving ACLs or Achilles. DeJounte Murray. The Pacers had two of them, Isaiah Jackson, James Wiseman. There was Mo Wagner, torn ACL, DeAnthony Melton, Kyrie. It's like all these guys are just blowing out their ACLs, blowing out their Achilles. You get to the postseason, you just basically have to be the team that doesn't have a season-ending injury. And it's not just, these injuries are going into next season. 3 weeks ago, the Bucks were like, man, we got to trade Giannis. We don't have Dame next year. We're screwed. Since then, the Celtics don't look like they're going to be the Celtics. The Pacers don't look like they're going to be the Pacers. The Knicks don't have a coach. I mean, who? The Magic, the Pistons. They should be. They're sharks in the water. So if you're any of those other teams, why are you giving up? The East is wide open. And I'm not sure how good the best team is. I don't know where they would finish if they were in the West. There's teams that are going to make decisions in the East that would make totally different decisions if they were in the West. So people are unhappy because the championship, it's not being celebrated. Even the Thunder themselves, I mean, I get it. They're young. It's funny. They couldn't open the champagne bottles, but they're just like, no, that's fun. We won a game. We won the title. I'll remember this forever. Will you? Will we? Adam Silver, this whole finals. Oh, social media says the broadcast needs the starting lineup. So, okay, I guess I'll do it. Oh, social media says that they want to see the logos on the court. Well, I guess I'll superimpose them for one game. Social media says that Scott Foster shouldn't ref game 7. Okay, social media, you won't have to ref game 7. We don't need to. Social media, what do you think I should do? We're doing choose your own adventure here. I'm surprised there wasn't a poll at the end of the third quarter that we could vote on from home. How would you like to see the finals end? Pacers win. Comeback. Thunder. Hang on. Barely. Thunder. Blowout lead. Another Achilles tear. Vote now. I mean, what are we doing? We got the most online reactionary commissioner in all of sports sitting there in the stands like a zombie, like a vampire. It just feels like nobody's having a good time. Oh, the ratings. Who cares? Was it good? Yeah. Were the ratings good? Who cares? I just want 2 weeks to watch the NBA Finals and really get into that matchup. Oh, but it's 18 days. Oh, let's change the format. 2-3-2. Okay, fine. Maybe it's too long. But can we just focus on the finals itself? Oh, no, the Knicks can't find a coach. Oh, no, Kevin Durant conveniently got traded while he was at some sponsor event, and he can hype up the sponsor. Oh, no, you don't say. Oh, there's a blockbuster trade between the Magic and the Memphis Grizzlies. Oh, let me turn on Stephen A. Smith. Oh, I can't turn off Stephen A. Smith. Oh, he's literally on every channel. Well, I'll watch the news. At least I'll get away from him for a night. Oh, my God, he's talking to Sean Hannity. Chris Cuomo, why are you everywhere? Oh, Stephen A. Smith, people getting mad at him. Better bring my daughter out. Ooh, use the kid as a shield. Worst tactic in media. I'm going to turn on the game. It's game 6 tonight. What are they talking about? Big Pacers comeback? Thunder close it out? Memphis is a terrible city. Come on! What are we doing? What are we doing? It just seems we've got this celebration of the NBA. The TV network is half-assing it. The coverage around it is terrible. The only people having a good time were the Thunder fans and the Pacers fans. They were super engaged, supported their team, really soaked up the moment. Everybody else, like, hate-watched this thing, including the commissioner. Tonight's show, is going to try to at least give you the historical context of what it is that the Thunder did. Tonight's show is going to take a look at how the Tyrese Halliburton injury is going to affect the Eastern Conference and perhaps the sport at large in the future, because this is one, two, three too many times this postseason. We will also be taking a very critical look at how Adam Silver is traced back to any problem in the NBA right now. You could trace it right back to him. Join us for this celebration of the NBA tonight on the Bart Winkler Show. You can do just that. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
And that was about the start and finish of the celebration. Very subdued for the Thunder. I really thought the Pacers were going to win. Everything leading up to it just gave the vibe that the Pacers were going to win. The Thunder, I saw, were giving weird answers all day in their press conferences. Then there was the video that they had the buses ready, which, spoiler alert, that's something I think both teams do. You know, they print both sets of hats and T-shirts for these teams in case they win. They don't have to, like, not give them a hat or T-shirt. Everything just seemed to go the way of this was going to be a victory for the Pacers. And then Tyrese Halliburton comes out and he's playing amazing. And then, unfortunately for the Pacers, he gets hurt. They still are very resilient. Thunder take a big 22-point lead. They cut it to 10, do the Pacers. And then from there, the Thunder able to seal the victory and win Game 7 and win their first NBA Finals as the Oklahoma City Thunder. 103-91 the final. Again, they won it as the Seattle Supersonics, which they still kind of are but are not. They have that history but don't acknowledge it because they're going to give it to Seattle once Seattle comes back, which they're not officially going to, but most certainly are going to at some point. So they will look at this as their first franchise championship, and there was that whole aspect of it too, that this is a team that was taken away from somewhere else. And then the day of, it's almost superseded, close to a pun, not intended, by Kevin Durant, who started with the organization and gets traded to the Houston Rockets.
Are you serious?
I am. The same day of the NBA Finals. So the Thunder get the victory. Final call there, Thunder Radio Network. There's a lot of great stats that they were able to pull off. There's a lot of great things that they were able to do. They were 68-14 in the regular season, 15-7 in the postseason, 83-21 overall. Correct that, 83-22. What people forgot is that they lost the NBA Cup to the Milwaukee Bucks. So the Thunder are now batting 500 in championship rounds this season. But that's 84 wins now. They've become the third team in NBA history to have 84-plus victories, because now it's 16-7 in the postseason and win the title in the same season. What they've done only has been twice done other times. 95-96 Bulls had 87 total wins, and the 96-97 Bulls had 84 total wins. That many wins, and also being sure to win the finals. They're the second youngest NBA champion in the last 70 years, behind only the 76 and 77 Blazers. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander became the first same-season regular season MVP, conference finals MVP, and finals MVP in NBA history. The Oklahoma City Thunder were 19-2, best record following a loss in a single season, had a point differential of plus 1,247, best point differential in a single season. In the playoffs, it was plus 131, best turnover differential in a single playoffs at that number. And the home point differential in a single playoffs was plus 259, best home point differential in a single playoffs. This was an all-time historic team that you got to witness win an NBA championship. And it seems like people do not care. Did you think any of that, Carlos, was weird? Like, they couldn't open the champagne bottles. That's kind of funny. But it just did not seem like this was a team that was interested in partying, which is fine. But really, I remember this about when the Bucks did beat the Thunder in the NBA Cup. Not to, like, do this all night and mention it all night, but I probably will. But they were like, oh, no, you know, it's not the real, you know, we're just, it's the NBA Cup, no big deal. For some reason, this just did not feel like a party that was going to last all night. I don't know if they're just too young or they didn't, you know, you didn't have to put in as much work as some of these older teams that have won it, but it just felt like, you guys do know you won the championship, right? It felt weird.
I think maybe they're just kind of looking ahead where they're thinking, all right, this is cool, but we're going to have to come back to work in like 3 to 4 months. Like their turnaround time is so brutal for these guys, and the offseason moves have already started to overshadow.
The draft is Wednesday.
Literally, it's insane. We're 2 days away from the draft. The season just finished.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be part of it. It just did seem like, and I think the youth might have something to do with it, but it did seem very weird. The Thunder are set up for the future, and there's a lot of, could this be a dynasty? We've done this the last few postseasons. Oh, the Lakers won in the bubble. Could they be a dynasty? Oh, the Thunder or the Nuggets won a couple years ago. Could they be the dynasty? Oh, the Bucks, could they be a dynasty? Oh, the Celtics, will they be a dynasty? There was almost no way they weren't going to win this postseason. Oh, the Thunder now, could they be a dynasty? They're set up for it. Maybe better than any of these other teams. You look at this draft coming up Wednesday, they've got two picks in the first round and another pick in the second. And then they've got a guy who is going to come back for them who was, I believe, overseas this year, or he had torn an ACL. Yeah. All right. So Nikola Topic, this is a player who was drafted by them, first round, 12th pick overall. On July 6th, he signed with the Thunder. Later, it was announced that he was expected to miss the entirety of the season due to surgery on his ACL. He became the first player to win an NBA championship despite never playing in a single game. And this guy would probably be projected to go top five if he was healthy last year, maybe this year. And now they're getting him back. And he's only 19 years old. He'll be 20 when the season starts. So they've got last year's first-round pick that is a highly regarded young player. They're going to have two more first-round picks, whether they use them or trade them. They are very capable of being able to relock and reload. This is the kind of haul for a team that you would think, oh, man, if we were rebuilt, like if the Suns, who just traded KD, if you were like, oh, you get Nikola Topic and then two first-round picks in this draft, you'd be like, oh, this is going to be a quick turnaround. We're going to be able to, you know, get this thing readjusted very quickly. That's what the Thunder have, and they're your NBA champions. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander did reflect on what it was like to win the championship.
It doesn't feel real. So many hours, so many moments, so many emotions, so many nights of disbelief, so many nights of belief. It's crazy to know that we're all here, but this group worked for it. This group put in the hours, and we deserve this.
All right. I mean, yeah, he's excited. Feels good. I mean, how about Jalen Williams? Does he sound a little more enthusiastic?
It doesn't feel real. Like, everything, like, the last, like, minute and a half of the game didn't feel like I was there anymore. It kind of just felt like I left my body a little bit and like just watched myself like get it and do that whole thing. It still doesn't feel real. And I'm just kind of like starting to try and like think back to the beginning of the season, and it just feels like a complete blur up until this point.
Maybe that's part of it. What about a guy who's a little older? What about Alex Caruso, who did win a championship with the Lakers in the bubble?
A championship is a championship, but there were 70 people in the gym when you won your first one.
Yeah.
How much better
does probably like 150, feel? But
maybe 100, maybe even 200. How much better does this one feel?
Yeah, now I got a real one. Now nobody can say anything. Yeah, I think just because of the way the team is constructed now versus the team I had in 2020, like it was much harder with this team just because of the experience.
Well, it was harder in the post game. They needed him to show them how to open a champagne bottle. So, congratulations to the Thunder. Everybody's feeling very happy for them, and everybody certainly thinks the NBA is in a great spot. 888-710-4ISN. We'll continue to discuss this throughout the night. Our bulletin blitz straight ahead. But first, an update from Marco Belletti.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and, in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
The biggest moments in the games.
SGA on the handle. Out front. Down the lane. Spurts. Kicks. Left wing dump. Wants three. It's online. Give it to him, baby. Thunder by 21. Timeout Pacers. It's happening. It's happening.
The biggest voices in sports.
Anything can happen at Fanatics Fest. Like me getting traded.
The heartbreak.
19 and a half seconds left. The Thunder will get it to the forecourt. Dribble out the rest of the clock, and then start celebrating their first NBA championship since moving from Seattle to Oklahoma City several years ago.
The celebrations.
It's over at Paycom Center. Final in Game 7, the Thunder 103, the Pacers 91. A dream realized. The storybook season is complete. The final chapter reads, the Oklahoma City Thunder are the 2025 NBA champions.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
Damn right, it's the Bulletin Blitz on the Bart Winkler Show, Infinity Sports Network, coast to coast. If you can hear me, you're in the right place. It is Monday, June 23rd, 2025. In the Bulletin Blitz, we bring you the audio of the day, except on Mondays, we also bring you the audio of the weekend. And no other place better to start when it comes to our audio adventure. Then in Oklahoma City, where the Larry O'Brien Trophy will finally make its home to Oklahoma City for the first time ever. Thunder cruised past the Pacers 103-91 in Game 7 of the Finals. SGA led all scorers, 29 points in a series clinch and win, took home Finals MVP. We played it earlier, but let's hear from some of his teammates. Let's hear from Jalen Williams on if he's processing this title win yet.
Nope. No, not at all. I actually just had my first drink, so I'm, like, working on that. I think in a couple days I'll be able to, like, come back down to earth a little bit. But right now I'm just trying to enjoy the moment. A lot of trials and tribulations just throughout my career, a lot of things that I don't speak on. It's been very good to me, so that was the one thing I reflected on so far. And then I had alcohol, so, yeah, I'm pushing through that.
Jeez. These guys sounds like this is they got invited to a high school party for the first time. Very good duo between Jalen Williams and SGA. They combined for 377 points in the series, passing MJ and Scottie Pippen for the second most by a finals duo in the last 50 years, trailing only LeBron and Kyrie in 2016. And I will point out that, yes, Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan did not ever need to go seven games, so the Thunder got one more game to accumulate those stats. Scottie Pippen, by the way, last night, posting this on Twitter. Just watched an NBA Finals Game 7. Never been in one myself, though. Replying to the comments like, y'all be blessed. Laugh emoji. Congrats to the Thunder on a win. And Scottie Pippen has a computer. He is Scottie Pippen. And he's got 6 rings. Yet when he posted that, he attached an AI photo of him at a computer with 6 rings. You don't need to AI yourself if you are yourself. So to get into that old playbook tonight as well, come on, Scotty. What are we doing here?
Yeah, come on, Scotty. Now, I'm sure there are some people that have said if there wasn't a certain injury on the court, perhaps the result would have been different. But it is what it is. And what I'm talking about is Tyrese Halliburton.
By the way,
yep.
Totally would have been different. The Pacers won that game last night without Tyrese's injury.
Yeah, they won the first half without him. But, things got away in the third quarter. And what I'm talking about is Tyrese Halliburton. He obviously played on that strained calf. Some talking idiots talked about maybe it was a bit of a ploy. Well, not so much. He wound up rupturing his Achilles, that same calf that was injured. So, presumably, he will be out all of next season. Tough break for the Pacers. Obviously, a tough break for Halliburton himself. Here's his head coach talking about the injury. And then let's also double back-to-back with Pascal Siakam on them losing the series.
What happened with Tyrese is all of our hearts dropped. But he will be back. I believe he'll make a full recovery. So he authored one of the great individual playoff runs in the history of the NBA with dramatic play after dramatic play. It was just something that no one's ever seen, and did it as one of 17. That's the beautiful thing about him. As great a player as he is, it's always a team thing. And so our hearts go out to him.
We're sorry, we wanted to do it, for Indy. We wanted more than anything. And just for the city, for the state, just because they deserve it. Like, these guys sleep, breathe basketball, and it was refreshing for me, to be in that environment.
I think that we're going to get to a point where if a guy has a calf injury, they're not going to play him. I saw somebody say we might get to a point where calf injuries in the NBA are treated like concussions in the NFL, where you just make sure that it is gone before you even try to play again. Because there is a correlation, it seems like. When you have less strength in your calf, then that's more stress on your Achilles.
Yeah.
And there were 3 guys, all coincidentally, who wore the number 0. Dame, Tatum, and Halliburton, that had a calf injury, played on it, blew out their Achilles. Now, you're not going to tell Tyrese that you're not playing in Game 7 of the NBA Finals. That what if is a much stronger what if than what if he didn't get hurt, because there still was something that you could control about it. But it's not the way that anybody wanted to see this end. Even somebody that wanted the Pacers to lose, I wanted to see them lose healthy. I wanted to see these two heavyweights fight. And I wanted to see, could they do it one more time? It's just, I feel like there may be some that thinks, I was not, trust me. And I'm rewatching the injury now, and it sucks. It sucks, and now they're going to miss the whole next year. Nobody wants that. That's not where the NBA should be headed.
I agree. On all fronts, I think we're going to start to see calf injuries. Basically, okay, you're out at least 2 weeks. We're just going to reevaluate you week to week. Could be something to monitor going forward, because there are too many guys dropping like flies all on calf/Achilles. All right, let's go off the court, because that's the NBA's favorite season, the offseason. Because, of course, there would be a big move while the NBA Finals are going on. In fact, you called it last week. So here's your move. Kevin Durant has been traded from the Phoenix Suns to the Houston Rockets. Yeah. You did speculate, watch this, what happened. And you didn't say KD specifically, but you said it was a move coming. Well, KD, nice. He gets traded. I think, 5 second-round picks, Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, they're all headed to Phoenix for KD. Kevin Durant was at Fanatics Fest in New York City when he learned of the trade, and he said,
what does Michael Rubin have over these people?
He's definitely got naked pictures or made a deal with the devil. Kevin Durant says he's relieved that the Suns traded him to a team that he wanted to play for.
You know, when people could just hang your career in a balance like that and just choose what they want to do with your career is a nerve-wracking feeling, but being able to dictate what you want to do and then being with a team that values you, and I'm looking forward to it.
Kevin, people are going to hold on to that dictate what you want to do. Did you have a hand in this?
Most definitely.
How much of it?
I mean, they asked me where I wanted to go. Some of my destinations I gave to them, and here we are.
This league is worse off for social media being a part of it. And the two biggest culprits of that are one of their big superstars in Kevin Durant and also their commissioner. If there was no social media, I still contend that Kevin Durant would be on the same team for 15 years and be unbothered by it. And he might pick fights with, like, the newspaper reporters in town. But we'll get more into it, certainly. But this Kevin Durant stuff, it's so uninteresting to me. Where he goes, how he's going to do. It's just very exhausting following.
Yeah, and is the juice even worth the squeeze anymore? I feel like he's just...
Well, when you can get him for nothing, it is. And that's what ended up happening.
I guess. All right, last one here. Let's go to the WNBA, where Caitlin Clark is arguably the most popular player in the league. But maybe through osmosis, her teammate might be the second most popular, and that's Sophie Cunningham. She was asked, does she feel the need to defend Clark?
I'm just going to be me. I don't go in there trying to predetermine anything. I'm dialed in. I need to focus on hitting my shots, making sure I'm executing the schemes right. I'm not focused on the extracurricular activities. And you know what? During that, it was just part of the game. I think the refs had a lot to do with that. It was a buildup for a couple of years now of them just not protecting, you know, the star player of the WNBA. And so at the end of the day, I'm going to protect my teammates. That's what I do. And I'm a team player, so...
Now, she came over via a trade, but this has to be a good example of, if you're a free agent, go play with Caitlin Clark. I mean, your star will, I was going to say blossom, that doesn't make sense. And now we're up against it, and I'm all flustered. Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
How I Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How I Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.